Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Gimel. And we've been getting into some wonderful details about the Inyanim of Bito. We started off with the differences of the various Mishnayos, questions of the more Chumrah of Isur Hanor, the greater loss of Isur Hanor, the difference between something that is usher to the Mizbeach only and something that's usher to Hedyot, the difference between things that are actually, in order to establish a difference with Avodah Zarah, we had those things that were included in Maseches Avodah Zarah as well, and all of the possible reasons for Chumrah in one case, Kula in a different case, what the Takonas are, if the difference between getting mixed with Yisuri Hanah, getting mixed with Yisuri Mizbeach, getting mixed with other Kachim, getting mixed with other Chulin, with Chulin. And we got yesterday to discussion of what the basis is for the way that the Rabbanim would be able to Aser even Echad Beribo, which we don't really see a Mokar in the Torah for. I mean, in the Torah, as far as we know, it's always Achrei Rabim La'atot, and we should follow the Rov, and therefore it ought to be kosher. And we looked yesterday into a number of different shitot about what type of things are not batal. So our first thought was, of course, that it's because of the chashivut per se of the animal that we're talking about here, that we can't be mevatalit, and maybe that's the way that the Rabbanan utilized this svara of something which is chashiv, doesn't lose its identity in a tarovet, and therefore, because of its chashivas, it was considered to be usur no matter what, because we can't just say it disappears into a chaotic group of animals. Problem is that it turns out that there's a number of different shitot that define the nature of this chashivut. And it runs the gamut, as we saw yesterday, four different levels. We had the level of ultimate chashivut, which was the Rabbanan, about the Shisha Dvarim, Rimoni Badan, and Jose Perach, and so on. And with Rabbi Akiva adding the Kikrot Shel Ba'al HaBayit. I mean, that just gives a list of the most chashivut things that are always looked at as being unique and needing to be estimated in their value, and that they're not therefore going to be bought up. Beneath that, we had the girsa, the approach in Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, which learned that only something which is et shedarko limanot, et shedarko limanot means it's something that is exclusively sold by unit. And then we had Reish Lakish's easier approach of kol shedarko limanot, which means things that are usually sold by unit. And then we had kol davar shebiminyan, which we were still in the middle of proving that there was such a shita, and that anything that could be sold, not even that is usually sold, but that could be sold by the unit, is considered to be choshev. So by looking at that shita, we avoided the machlokas of Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan in the understanding of our Mishnah. And therefore, it was the way we preferred to go about it. But the truth is, of course, it could be that the Mishnah is going like Reish Lakish's opinion in Rebbe Meir. It could be that it's going, even according to Reb Yochanan, with this Mandi Omer that we're trying still to isolate today. And he, we said, was the Mandi Omer known as the one who gave us the din of the Kitziyot, the Litra Kitziyot. And we had stopped right there, the Mandi Omer, Tana, the Litra Kitziyotu. And this is right on the top of today's daf. And he holds kol davar sheyesh bo minyan hafilu b'rabbanan lo batal v'kol shekein b'niraisa. So we would not be able to be mevatal because of this gezeira, even on an iser d'rabbanan. A kol shekein, where we're learning over here, we're talking about serious yisurim d'niraisa, yisurim d'niraisa, and so on. Now it's time for us to look more closely at that shita and learn about it. So the Tanya, here was the case. There were litra ketziyot. Now, a litra ketziyot, since they are, remember, they're dried figs that are generally pressed into a cake. And the way that they would be pressed into a cake is they would be put into a mold, and there would be an awful lot of them. These could be very large molds. Sometimes they were just the size of in their radius. They were just the size of a standard fig cake, but they would be deep, and you'd have to cut like a lot of these fig cakes that to get it out of there. But what they would do is they would press the figs into the mold, and they would sell it by the litra. So machlokas bidiyuk, how much a litra is, actually a very, very big machlokas. It varies by almost a factor of three. But in any event, the point is that we keep pressing them into a mold, and then they're cut. And it's talking here, since we're describing a kitziot, and kitziot are not chayav in Trumas HaMaisers midiraisa, because only Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzhar is a chayav of Truma, in terms of the Torah Din, so it's a Darabonah. So there's a Darabonah Truma, this is pure Truma, and it's meant to be given to a Kohen, again, Midirabonah, and they've been pressed into an eagle. But the problem was that there was a lot of chulin in this eagle as well. Now, he doesn't know. I mean, he's like a guy that does, you know, hundreds of these. He takes his whole crop, puts it into these molds, which are eagles, they're called, round molds. And he doesn't remember. He knows it's at the top, but he doesn't remember which one of the molds he had put the truma into. Or maybe he was using even a chavit, which is much wider. Or a kaveret. A kaveret was a sort of a standard kind of basket weave that they had, and it was used very often for bee raisers, so it would be shaped like a hive that would make the bees feel comfortable, and they would often use a kaveret also for storage of things. It's basically just a shaped basket, human-made basket that's shaped like a hive. And he doesn't remember which chavis he pushed it into on the top. He knows it's on top, but he doesn't know which of these basket hives he put it into. So Rabbi Meir says, well, I'll tell you that this is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. And here's the machlokas, says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer says, look, you know that it's only at the top, right? So you can't include all of the chulin that's at the bottom of the particular eagle or chavis or kaveret. But if you've got the shear of bittel, and the shear of bittel of truma is 100 to 1, there's a lot of discussion about whether the makar of that, certainly the makar of it is the din of the, in the pasuk of truma's meiser, which is 100 to 1. But the point is it a real D'oraisa? Some want a taina from the Gemara later on today that it's a real D'oraisa. The shear, others learn there's never a shear D'oraisa that's different than Bittel Berov, which is the most shitas hold. But anyway, there's certainly a shear here, D'rabbanan, of 100 to 1. So, according to Rebbe Eliezer, look, since you know that it's in one of these containers, you don't have to actually look at only the part of the container that you know it's in. You can view the entire thing because it's only a derabbanan chiyuv. So we're going to be making, we're going to allow you to mix the entire mixture. So we say, but I know I only put it in the top. True, but it's mixed in this container, and this container may have 50 to 1. And the container next to it has another 50 to 1. And altogether, you've got 100 to 1. You know, so basically, we'll be making with the whole mixture. And even the tachtonot are ma'alot et elyonot. So we look at the elyonot as if they are separate units, and they're mixed somewhere into there, even though we know it's right on the top. And we look at the whole thing as one big mixture. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua says, no, you can't mix if you know that it's not part of the mixture, for heaven's sakes. So if you have 100 of these containers and you've got 100 mouths of these containers, 100 tops, all of which are chulin, so those 100 tops of chulin are mevatel, the single top somewhere in here, I don't know where it was, which one, somewhere in here of truma. So then yalu, fine. So then it's mevatel, the litra of truma. But imlav, by the way, it's a machlokas we've shown him about whether ya'alu simply means in terms of the halacha, that they make them disappear, so to speak, and they make them the equivalent of chulin, or whether ya'alu means you have to take out one to serve as the truma, and you say, okay, this is the one that fell in, and the rest is chulin, which Rashi says in some places. Okay, but in any event, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you obviously, says Rabbi Yeshua, can only utilize what is really part of your suffix in terms of the mixture, and therefore, since you know that you put it on the top and you haven't put in anything else since then only if you've got 100-to-1 tops, then ya'alu. But imlav, if not, then what we say is that we have to be machmir, and all of the figs that are on top of each of these containers are going to be usher for a czar, and have been given to a kohen, and the rest is mutter, because the rest wasn't part of the suffix. So a shulayim, the bottom, of course, which we know for a fact is chulin, is not a problem. So that's Rabbi Meir's version of the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Now Rabbi Yehuda has a different version. And he says, no. What you said that Rabbi Yeshua said is actually what Rabbi Eliezer said. Rabbi Eliezer said, if you have 100 tops to one, so then it's bato, yalu, vim, lav, apumin, asurin, and the Yushalayim is mutarim. What you said in Rabbi Yeshua is really Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says, you're never going to be able to be mavato any of this. What? That's right. I don't care how much there is. I don't care if you've got 300 of these containers and you've got 300 tops to one, it's still not going to be bottom because of the fact that those things, even though it's only in a drabanan, those litra are sometimes sold by the number. And since they're sometimes sold by a number, therefore, they're too choshev to be bottom. Now, this is the ultimate shita, the most chomer of the four shitot that we saw, that even if it's sometimes sold by number, it's also considered to be something that is too choshev to be bottom. So obviously, according to him, the cases that we've been talking about, which are about animals, are certainly very often sold by unit. And because of that, for sure, it has nothing to do with the shita of Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish in the din of Davar Shebaminyan. This is a called Davar Sheyeshko Minyan, and therefore it's us. Okay, continues. I mean, we brought it up. So let's read the whole brisa. Derasa bi'igul, v'ne yodeh be'ezeh makom bi'igul derasa. Suppose you pressed it somewhere into one of these molds, and you don't remember where. We're talking about a wide mold, so that it doesn't take up necessarily one of the entire areas of the area as a slice through it, and you could actually have a couple of litra ketzios that are spread across the area of just the lower part or the middle part and so on. So he doesn't remember. Did he push it into the northern section, the southern section? So there everybody agrees that for sure you combine the whole mess because you have no idea where it is at all in terms of the other figs that are in these chaviot or these kavarot or these igulim. So we've got this possibility that behemoths are actually a yeshbo minyan, and since it's a dover yeshbo minyan, it's not going to be bottle. We have the alternative, which is it's Rebbe Meir, and it's going to leave the Resh Lakish, and it's a dover shebe binyan. And now we have yet another approach, and Rav Ashi says it could even be the Rabbonan who hold that there's only six things, or it could be Rabbi Akiva. There's only seven things that are chashev enough, and they are definitely not including animals. But this is different. This is Baalei Chaim. Baalei Chaim have their own special chashivas, and everybody agrees that these things that have that chashivas of being a living organism, not because of the numbering, but because of the chashivas of the life itself, that is something that is never going to become bottle, and that wasn't included in the whole discussion about koshi yesh bo minyan or dover she binyan. And there we were talking about, agricultural products and so on, but you're talking about a living animal, Everybody agrees, says Ravashi, it's not going to be bought. Now, this is a fascinating move. Now we're going to discuss, what do we mean by Bito Berov? And that is a very important distinction to make. There's such a concept of Bito Berov where things are actually physically mixed in each other. But there's another din of going according to a rov, in which case it would mean that if you have something that had emerged from a group, and the most of the group could be defined as being X and the rest would be Y, then what emerged from the group is X. Now that's a different rov, and it's called Kol Deporish, Mr. Gabi, Miruba Koporish. Something which emerges out of a group is considered to have come from the rov of the members of that group. That is not bittel. That doesn't mean that something disappeared. It could be as choshev as could possibly be. The most incredible animal with all of the other milus in the world. We're not interested in making it disappear. Magic and how whatever is in this rov becomes mutter. Absolutely not. That's not the point. We're interested now in identifying the particular unit, you see? So it's a completely different idea. Therefore, says the Gemara, okay, I understand why we can't have Bittel Berov, but why can't we have the other element of Rov, which is called a Parish, Berub a Parish? So what we should do is take them out one by one. So pull out one. Okay, now what is this one? Come to identify it. Is this a kosher carbon? Or is this the Isra Hano, the Chatas HaMesa? Well, I mean, we've got 10,000 kosher carbons and only one Chatas HaMesa called the Parish Miruba Koparish. And therefore, it certainly is considered to be something that is kosher. Now, the classic case of called the Parish Miruba Koparish, and according to some Rishonim, including Tosfos here, the only case where we really rely on called the Parish Miruba Koparish in terms of a Dioraisa, is where there were identifiable units at the beginning. And the problem over here is we still know, understand each unit on its own. We don't have any question about that. Our question only has to do, where do they come from? Now, what is that case? That's the classic case where you have nine stores that are selling kosher meat and one store that's selling non-kosher meat, or vice versa. And now the question is, you find a piece of meat on the ground that somebody dropped. You have no idea which store this meat was purchased in. So that is the classic case of called the parish, miruba kaparish. We're not looking at the particular thing. We're looking at the entirety out of which it came, and therefore we assume that we can identify it as coming from the rov store. So if rov were kosher stores, then this is kosher meat. So why don't we just do that? Why don't we just say, name a kol de parish, miruba ka parish, and therefore it would be nimshoch, we'll pull one out, and we'll use it. Nimshoch, excuse me? What do you mean, pull one out? You know very well that we cannot apply that din of kol de parish miruba parish if you're pulling one out. The din of kol de parish miruba parish is only when it came out, it emerged. It's not when you went and you took it. So if the suffix becomes the suffix when it's found, fine. But if something is in its place, and you're going to go into that place, we have another klal. And that klal is kol kavua kemechza al mechza. Anything that has its own permanent location is never going to be called a parish, miruba kaparish. If there's a specific reason that we don't have bittul berov, namely, we know each case. We know which store is kosher, and we know which store is not kosher. So then each thing has its makom. And if you're going to go and take it from there, hey, look, it could be coming from anywhere. Why would there be a relationship of one place to another place? wherever you took it from, you took it from. So it remains the equivalent of a 50-50 chance that you took it from somewhere else, because it's not as if we're including any other store with the store that you took it from. So, I mean, why would we limit it to the entire thing at once? Why not look at the area that you went to? So it's always going to be 50-50 if it's kavua. Now, the current case is not the standard case of kol kavua al mechza al mechza. And there's a machlokas about whether the extension of the din of kol kavua kemechza al mechza is this mi'ikar din in our case, or is it an extension because of the fact that we're dealing with, as Tosis points out, this an issue which in its essence, that is, that we don't allow bitul berov itself is a gzeira d'rabbana. So, okay, but the reason that this case is similar to the case of the Tesha Chanuyas is because it's not able to be bitul berov. That's the point. So since because of some specific reason, it's too chashev, so it's like a store. It's a balchai, so it's like a store. It's equivalent to being identifiable, even though it isn't. So we give it the din of being identifiable, and therefore we're only talking about porish. And porish is to emerge. And therefore, what kind of stupid question are you telling me? Go in there, take out one. If I take out one, then I'm creating this suffix at that particular moment, and how would that be nogea the entire group? And therefore, we would say kol kavua mechza mechza, right? So far, ideas are clear, concepts are clear. Kol deporish miruba kaporish, kol kavua kemechza mechza. Therefore, says the Gemara, okay. Look, I'm not stupid. I mean, so let's hone the case a little bit. And what I meant was, nichbashino denaide, let us get these animals to move so that they're constantly moving. Maybe you set the farm dogs on them and now they're all moving around. Okay. So now that they're moving around, they don't have a mokum kvias. So there's no kol kavua kemechza mechza. And then even if you pull one out of the herd, or maybe only if it would come out from the herd and you're forcing it out, it's a machlokas, actually a machlokas rishonim, as to whether you'd be actually allowed to take it out, or even if you saw it come out, or only if it actually emerged. That's a big machlokas. There's some rishonim who say as long as you don't actually go in there and take it out yourself, it's still called the parish miruba kaparish. Okay. In any event, couldn't we do that? Omar Rava, you could do that. It's true. And there would be a way to make these korbanos kosher. However, gezeira shema yavo asara kohanim bevat achat v'yikrevo. What we're concerned about is, let's say that we've got, in fact, a bitul berov, but we've got only, let's say, 15 of these animals. So we've got a rove that are kosher. But what if 10 kohanim take these animals? Remember, you've been removing them. So you're allowing these 10 different people have come along. And you're saying, okay, it's okay. You just wait until one of these animals comes out of the group. And then it'll be kosher, right? Okay, so these people, 10 people, took 10 out of these 15 animals. And they're all great now because each one of them was called a parish miruba kaparish. Now the question is, what happens if those 10 people just so happens they brought those animals at the same time? And now they're all sitting there being brought by 10 kohanim on the mizbeach at the same moment. So then if that would happen, you would no longer have called the parish miruba parish. We've got 10 out of the 15, and we have 10 out of the 15 is actually more than the rove. So the rove should be in this part and not in the part that you have. So therefore, it doesn't really add up. Because of that, we always have to be concerned that that would happen. And if that would happen, then it would end up being usher. So it's a gezeira mishum shema yavo asara kohanim bevat achat v'yikru. I don't understand how is that possible. You can't have 10 of these things to do exactly at the same instant. It would have to be literally at the same instant. I mean, how is that possible? You can't have such a diuk in events happening simultaneously. There's bechlalamach locus about, and this was another Gavi concept, of efshel etzamtzem. Is it ever efshel etzamtzem? Is simultaneity a concept that is nogea halacha? Because obviously, it's not really efshel etzamtzem. There's always going to be relativistic differences. There's going to be all types of effects that don't really make it tzimtzum. So the question is, does the halacha recognize tzimtzum? But when you're talking about this type of random events that is complex and is stretched over a certain amount of time, of course you can't be mitzamtzem. So how could you have 10 kohanim coming and doing exactly the same thing at the same moment? That's not possible. Okay, says, well, you're right. So I'll tell you what the gezeira is. The gezeira is that, look, does think everybody understands the subtleties of kokobwek mechza al mechza, or the difference if the animals are moving around? They don't know the difference. So if you allow them to take out on the basis of kol deporish miruba koporish, they'll take it out from a kavua also, where it wasn't nichbeshevin neither. And therefore, because of that gezeira, we have to worry that is people will end up actually using an animal that is not batel at all. Now, I mean, this, of course, is already a chumra of a drabbanon on another drabbanon, right? So, okay, nachinami. So the Rishonim talk out that it's all one essential chumra. In order to avoid the utilization without bittel, so it's one halacha, something that's choshev, is in batel, and we don't allow you to take it out, because even if it's naid, it's not as if it's two separate steps. We didn't allow the process of using kol deporish in order to allow things that are not able to be bought. Okay, so it's a gezeira. So it turns out that the whole Mishnah that's talking about Yomutu Kulam is a gezeira, that's almost a gezeira like gezeira, and really it ought to be batel berov, but it's too chashev, and we don't want to allow you to take the risk of maybe somebody coming and taking from a kavua, so we don't allow you to benich v'shino v'naide. Omar Rava, I want you to understand that once this is true, hashtu d'amir rabbona lo nakriv, once this is true, inakriv lo maratze. It's not as if it's going to be a real carbon if you bring it. You'd have to bring another carbon. Now, this is shocking. You have to bring another carbon. How could the Rabbanan tell you to bring another carbon? If it's essentially, it's going to be chulin ba'azara, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely a real meteor. I said real carbon, you were already mechaper. And you're telling me, I skipped a piece. I'm sure I skipped a piece. Yeah, after the Asar Kohanim. I skipped directly to Asar Kohanim Bevat Achad. Can we please go back? Forgive me. I'm stupid. I just realized I didn't get a chance to explain something. I'm sure I didn't explain why we got to Efshel Letzamtzem. I'm going back, okay? I don't know how Benny's going to fix this one. All right, so we said, Omer Rova, Gzera Shem Yavo Asor Koni Bevat Achat V'yikruvu. So I skip this next line, the next five words. Omer Le'ahumi Rabbanan L'Rova. So one of the Rabbanan in the Beis HaMedrash tainted to Rova, what difference would it make if afterwards these 10 Kohanim come together? Me'ata Megisa Asira? You're telling me you were already Makabal the Dom, right? And now you're telling me, yeah, but what if 10 Kohanim come along and they put this Dom on the Mizbeach at the same instant? I mean, it's not going to become Usser once it was Mutter. If you were Matir this behemoth because it called the Parish Beruba Kaparish, how could you now subsequently make it Usser and review the question about whether this is a Rove? I mean, it's already been determined. This was Yotze. It was kosher when it was Yotze. You can't now say, oh, but now let's magically make it Usser again, can you? So what kind of gezeira is that? And on that, the Gemara says, because we're afraid that maybe 10 Kohanim will come at one time and will take it out of the mixture of the ones that were moving around. And if you would have taken out one out of these 15 animals, you're right. But suppose 10 are taken out at the same moment. And on that, the Gemara says, how is it possible for it to be exactly the same moment? It's something that doesn't occur in an instantaneous thing. And therefore, how could Asar Kohanim bevat achat miyafshar? It's not possible for 10 Kohanim to take it at the same time. As we said, there's no, whether we do have a machlokas about whether efshar letzamtzem, but in bichlal, whether the halacha recognizes simultaneity in time. But even if it does, it certainly, this is not something that's going to happen. You can't be mitzamtzem things that don't have a particular one instant in which it's happening. And therefore, there would be no such case. So what would be the reason? Ela amar Rava, mishum kavua. So we're worried that they're actually going to come and take, because they don't realize that it had to be night day, and they're going to take it even if it is not moving about. So the reason that this is an important nakuda is that the Gemara takes for granted that you can ask the question about megisa, that if it's already in the cup, why would it suddenly come back and be usher because now we have a rove? I mean, what that implies, think about what that implies, that once something has been defined as heter because it was kaparish miruba, so now even if you have all of them together, they're all kosher. And you magically made the one that was usher disappear? Is that true? Can you ultimately take all of them and say, well, each one of them was defined as mutter, and once it's defined as mutter, it remains mutter, and it'll never become usser again, even if we put it all together. Where did the usser disappear to? How is it possible to say if we put them all together, they're not usser again? And Lemaisa, it's one of the Rush's big riots to his shita. His shita is that the din of Taroves actually cancels Iser. And if you have, let's say, a mixture, let's say you have solid things, you have Yavesh B'Yavesh, and you have a mixture of 2-1 and a Yavesh B'Yavesh, and one thing is definitely Iser, two of them are Mutter. Can you eat all three? You know that if you're eating all three, you're eating a piece of Nevela. Can you eat all three? The Rosh Hashita is, yes, you can eat all three, because the din of Bittel is that essentially the Bittel has gone away. And you can't, in his Lashon, it's Chazar Iser Liyos Heter. The Torah didn't answer this. It's not a question of the reality of whether you're eating. It's a question of whether the Halacha recognizes the presence of this Iser. And since it's Bittel Barov, there's no such Iser. This is the Russian's approach to Klal. And he brings one of the Rayas he brings is exactly from this Gemara. Because why is the Gemara shocked that it should become Usser again now that it's already in the Megisa, it's been Mutter? Why not? If I bring it all together, I know that I can't eat it. Is that so shocking? On the contrary, it seems to be more shocking the other direction. Beautiful. Okay, now, the question is, what do we do with this next piece of Rav? Omar Rava, hashti d'amri rabbonan lo nakriv, I nakriv lo maratze. Now that the rabbonan said you're not supposed to be makrivit, if you were makrivit, it wouldn't even be a carbon, which seems to imply you'd have to actually go ahead and bring another carbon. But as we know, what's the general Gabi rule? Is that the Rabbanan can only tell you to be over an Iser D'Oraisa B'Shev Al Tasa. They can't tell you to do an Iser. So how could the Rabbanan tell you over here, bring a new carbon, when if you bring that carbon, you're going to be bringing Chulan Lazara, and you're going to be over on a big Iser. So that runs against all of what we know to be the Halacha Mid-Rabbanan. So why does Rava say it would mean that you have to bring another carbon? So there's a number of different approaches about why you would have to bring another carbon. Some talk about it in terms of dihui. Since it was originally unable to be brought, and the Rabbanim didn't allow the bittul, so lemaisa, it wasn't usable. And now, even if you went ahead and brought it, once it's nitcha, it's nitcha. Others learn, a fascinating idea, is that since you want to be yotze, the korban midrabanan, this is not called l'ritzoncha. Because since the pasuk says, v'chizbechu zevach shlamim l'Hashem l'ritzoncha tizbechu, it means that if you don't have a rotzen in this akrava, it's not a kosher akrava. And since it's similar to the idea of areyat mekudeshetli kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, so this is a type of idea of the same, it's kedusha. And therefore, I don't want this concept of kedusha unless it's recognized as kedusha. Fascinating idea. And therefore, it's not considered to be l'ritzoncha. Fascinatingly, the Chazon Ish, who actually has a habit of never mentioning the Shita Mekubetza. I don't know why, but he never says, well, it says in the Shita this, but we have to. So the truth is, the Shita says here, brings Rabbeinu Manoach. The Rabbeinu Manoach says that it means you'd have to bring another korban. He doesn't even bring the Rabbeinu Manoach. And on this Gemara, he says, of course, it doesn't mean that you bring another korban. It just means it's not a kosher korban in terms of the dinim of achila and so on. But there could never be mechayev to bring another korban unless you're talking about a korban that was a neder and a nedava. Fine. So that, they're mechayev you to bring a neder and a nedava. Because over there, you're not doing an iser. But let's see, mechayev chatas, and you brought this as a chatas? Of course they would not have told you to bring a chatas. Because that avoids the whole problem. Because then Rava never said that you should be over. Okay, anyway, just wanted to be...
possible, Levi, that he never had access to the Shita Mekubetzes?
Why would he not have access? It was printed at the time that he was writing these halachas. I don't know. It's very strange.
In Europe? I mean, maybe... Okay.
Even the layout? No. No, it was printed later. Okay, anyway, I don't know why. Okay. So, this is Rava Shita. Taina is Ravuna Bar Yehuda Rava. How can you say that? Here is a Beferish Mishnah, and it's a Mishnah in Kinim, so of course it's about birds. And the case over there was that a chatas, meaning a chatas ha'ov, shenisarva ba'ela, meaning an oila sa'ev, or an oila shenisarva ba'chatas, depends which one was the rov. So, you know, generally when we say it in that way, the number of birds that is greater is the things that it was more of into, as we saw at the beginning of the glorious discussion of our Mishnah. Even if it's one in 10,000, what are you supposed to do with it? You can't put the dam on the top, because maybe it's a chatas. You can't put the dam on the bottom, because maybe it's an ayla. And in each one of those cases, it would be puzzle. So therefore, you don't have a right to bring it at all. And because of that, yamutsu kulam. What are you supposed to do? There's no such thing as waiting for it to get a mum because a bird doesn't have a mum, remember? You can't say yiru atzis te'evu. You'd have to say what? Let them fly around until something bites off a leg? When somebody going to bite off a leg? Or were they going to lose an eye? Remember, it's only b'chusar aver that's going to make an afkamina to a bird. And therefore, there's nothing you can do. But b'med varam amurim, when do we say this, says the Mishnah? When a Kohen comes along to Bezdin and he asks, what do I do? The Kohen nimlach. So he comes to Bezdin, and Bezdin says, there's nothing to do. You have to allow the oilais and the chatois, they all cannot be brought to the Mizbeach. But suppose he doesn't ask, and he just goes and he brings it. And he thinks it's one type of korban. So a Kohen that didn't ask, and he thought that they were all olas, and he put all of their dam l'mala michuta sikra, so then only the olas are kosher, and all of the chatos are pasal. So mechse kosher, mechse pasal. If he put all of the dam l'mata michuta sikra, so then only the chatos are kosher, and the olas are pasal. If he did achas l'mata v'achas l'mala, then they're all pasal. Shani Omer Chatat Kreva Lamala, Va'olah Kreva Lamata. So now, according to what Rava said, once the Rabbanan asked you to do something, that korban is no longer going to be kosher. Here we have the classic statement in Kinim, which is like the whole Kinim essentially ends up being built around this idea where the Kohen went ahead and did stuff. And here it says that it's mechzer kosher, mechzer pasul. How could that be? Why would it be mechzer kosher, mechzer pasul? The Rabbanan said not to do it. And Rava claimed that if the Rabbanan say not to do it, so now it's nitcher, whatever it's for it was, and it's no longer kosher at all. So it's a beferish a Mishnah against Rava. How in the world could Rava have said that? Ah, because what Rava was going was according to the Man D'Amar who says that Baalei Chayim are nidachim. So since even though they're Baalei Chayim, remember we had this machlokas earlier. If Baalei Chayim are nidachim, so then at the point where it was usher to bring them, so now they're nidcha from the Mizbeach. The fact that the Kohen now with force majeure brings them on the Mizbeach, doesn't undo the dichui. Masha Inkin, the Mishnah and Kinim, that's going according to Mandi Omar, who says, Baalei Chayim einan nidachim. And since there ain't none nidachim, so Lamaiser was brought. So what's the problem? It becomes kosher. But Rava's statement was based around the concept of dichui. Okay, I think the rest of it, if we don't want to completely mess up tomorrow's daf, we'll wait for tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, so what we've added today is completely new things that we hadn't even raised the issue before, and that is when we talk about a rov, and we talk about bittel, it's not just a question of taroves being something bottle in a taroves. There's also a different halacha of rov, which is called the Parish Meruba Kaparish. Now, we just need to remember, by the way, once we're thinking about the concepts of Rov, there's a third aspect of Rov that this Gemara has not involved itself in here, and that is statistics, the prediction of statistics. That's a completely different type of Rov, which is called Aruba de Lesa Kaman. Aruba de Ita Kaman is that all of the elements of the question exist in front of us, and now we have to define which piece came from which. But a predictive rov is, for instance, the sugya that we had about Rabbi Meir, the Machlokas Rabbi Meir, and the Chachomim, about the question of whether, in the case of Yibum, where you have children, and these children are still prepubescent, we have no way of knowing whether they're fertile or not fertile, whether if a Yavam, who's a child, takes a Yavama, are they supposed to continue to be living together as man and wife at the age of 8 years old? Or do we say, no, it might be that we're giving them an Erva, because what if one of them is not fertile, and therefore there's no din of Yibum? So that's the question of, do we need to worry about Chashina Lemiuta, which is Rabbi Meir Shita, that a possibility is enough to Aser, or do we say most children will end up reaching puberty? And since we have that predictive rove, we're allowed to treat this particular child as being actually an incipient, fertile person. And therefore, there would be no Isser of Erva on his sleeping with his sister-in-law. So that is the question of that's the famous question where Rabbi Meir talks about the Chashina Lemiuta of predictive statistics, which is another element of Rov. That's not part of our Gemara because we're only talking about Eruba de Ita Kaman. Okay, that's wonderful. Baruch Hashem.